Hey, it says we're live. What's up, everybody? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you guys are, because that's what we are. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide, and that's why we chat Packers each and every day right here on the social channels. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Before I get going, as the video title states, I just want to give a shout-out to Adam Stenovich, the Packers offensive line coach. Considering the fact that they've had multiple different lineups go in there, sometimes during the game, and these guys have held up as well as they have as far as not only in protection, but production in the run game. I just remember a lot of, raised eyebrows, tisking on the beat when this hire was made. A lot of questions about his replacing Campen as the coach of the O-line. I remember Bakhtiari being asked about it, Lindsley being asked about it. Hey, shout out to Bakhtiari on his birthday, by the way. And look, Stenovich has done nothing but come in and ball out as O-line coach. So, hot start from his guys. Assistant coaches rarely get shout-outs and or recognition, unless maybe when their unit is playing poorly and then everyone's like, well, fire that guy. So let's give a shout-out to Adam Stenovich because, like I said, he's come in here in a year and a couple games and really shown that he knows what the hell he's doing. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? How we doing? Don't be so quick to doubt Atlanta. Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. I mean, look, they've given up some big leads, but they've also acquired those leads. You know, I don't think you can sit back and just wait for them to implode. You have to go take it to them. There's no doubt about it. Who's the Mike linebacker? I think that's part of Martinez's game we miss. Well, James, that was Kirksey until he got hurt. I would say it's probably a wash as far as what Kirksey's been giving you comparative to what Martinez did. Right now, it is going to be Ty Summers. He's the one who took over on Sunday night, his literal first snaps in the NFL. And he'll probably be the Mike or inside linebacker, the number one inside linebacker for the foreseeable future. Alex, thanks for the super chat. Is it me? Not only is Rodgers hitting the deep ball and all these crazy throws again, but even these screen passes and rollouts, he was missing those last year. Wonder if it's something from the 2010 film. Alex, I'll tell you what, he absolutely is leading guys better on those swing passes and the screens. I know exactly what you're talking about. There's one in particular. I just rewatched the game last night. I think it was to Tyler Irvin out to the right, where he does such a phenomenal job of hitting him in stride as he's turning up the field. So it's not like it's a straight out shot, but he's like, he's turning up. There's blockers in front of him and Rodgers puts it right there. Bill Walsh would have been proud. So I agree. I don't know if it's the 2010 film or whatever, but it is absolutely noticeable. And it is something, you're right, he did miss on way too many occasions last year and the last couple years, really. What else we got? Wait, is that a Cheesehead TV zip hoodie, full zipper? You better believe it, baby. Come on now. Go to the store. It's there, baby. Here, let me throw up the link for you. There you go. And I know if you want, on any of our YouTube videos, you'll see a link to the store right below the video. But for all the other platforms, let me throw that up there for you. It's nice to win pretty, no doubt. Mario, thank you for the super chat. Have a beer on me. Well, that is incredibly kind of you, and that is definitely a New York beer price. So thank you so much. That's very nice of you. Does Patrick's success decrease the probability of re-signing Lindsley? Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't think it was so much about what Lucas Patrick does. It's the fact that they drafted three offensive linemen, many of them interior guys, one of them a center by trade this past draft. That's traditionally how Gutekunst and before him Ted Thompson, and how they like to operate. A year before you need a guy, you get ready to plug that hole. I would suspect they let him walk unless they can come to some kind of agreement. I would suspect it would have to be under a monster home discount, though, and I don't see Lindsley taking that. He's too good a player. He can make way too much money on the open market to consider taking a discount, especially in a year where the Packers are going to be having to work a lot of magic as far as getting under the cap, getting things to fit in a salary cap situation is definitely going to be impacted by COVID-19 and the drop in a salary cap. What else we got here? Matt, you're welcome, buddy. Throwing to open guys and being fully bought in like Murphy wanted from him seems to be working. Are you talking about Rodgers? I mean, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that another year in the system has certainly helped. Do you think Rodgers taking accountability and looking at his 2010 tape sent a message to the rest of the team? I mean, I don't think it was, I'm going to send a message by talking about this. You know, I do think it's a form of leadership. Aaron's talked about it before. Certainly something where if you're a younger player and you see Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP, Super Bowl champion, nothing left to prove, still going back and making those kind of adjustments, looking that far back into his game. I mean, it can only rub off on you as a teammate, right? And as someone who is in that locker room and sees Aaron day every day and how he works, to see him go about that and then to see the improvement on the field, I definitely think it's a sense of, you know, a form of leadership. Now, if it was intended to send a message, I'm dubious on that one, but every little bit helps. And that certainly is something that younger players will pay attention to. Brian, thank you for the super chat. There's no doubt about it. Is this decade's, it's like anything. You notice that too, huh? Well, I mean, you guys make fun of me for all the phrases I use again and again and again. You know, I know people always tease me. What's the one I say that people tease me about all the time? I tend to think. I use I tend to think all the time because I don't want to be blanket about I think this, but there might be a situation somewhere hypothetically where I don't think that. So I always say I tend to think. So that's, yeah, Matt has, there's no doubt about it, as his verbal tick, so to speak, when he's speaking, much like McCarthy had, is like, it's like anything. Man, if you do a lot of talking in public, you're going to come around on phrases that you settle into. That's just part of the game. But that is funny. Does MVS bounce back when Adams returns? Does he need to bounce back? I mean, yeah, he wasn't incredibly productive on Sunday night, but I don't think that was any fault of his. I mean, there was the one play on the out where Aaron tries to hit him, and they seemed off in their timing there a little bit. Saw Aaron shake his head in frustration, but yeah, I don't know if he needs to bounce back. Unless you're talking fantasy football, then I can't help you, dude. Rodgers tried to hit him on that deep post and he was double covered. You know, they took him away. This is going to happen. Brandon, thank you for the super chat. Very kind of you. Jonathan, thank you for the super chat. Hey, Nags, any thoughts on Shep getting playing time over Malik Taylor? Is Malik okay? As far as I know, he should be fine. But, you know, Shep's been in the system and produced a little bit. Both in preseason and a bit in regular season last year. Obviously, he had the horrible game prime time against the Lions, which pretty much ended his 2019 campaign. But yeah, no, I just, this is what they preferred. I think maybe, again, being on a fast track, he's a smaller, shifty dude. And look, LaFleur did say earlier this week that they had some stuff dialed up for Shep in the game plan that they just never got to. So sure sounds like it was something specific to that matchup in that game. I don't think it necessarily means he's automatically over Malik Taylor. If there's a different kind of game / matchup where Adams is down and they need another body at wide receiver, maybe they bring Malik in. But for this game, it was Shep's turn. CR talking about Vic Ketch. I can't read Vic Ketchman takes on Packers Daily. I'm sorry. That's in the bylaws. Matt, don't take my word for it, but pretty sure Wallers is just the head of PR. Aaron's guy is Tom Fanning. Just the head of PR? Excuse me, Wallers is a vice president. Thank you very much. He was promoted a few years ago, so please put some respect on his name. But yes, Tom Fanning is the one who handles all of Aaron's media requests. And Tom's always the one standing over Aaron's shoulder when he's doing the interview after the game. Tom, Appleton native, good guy. A lot of that's a credit to from Coach also. Oh, Javier, yeah. My favorite thing now, and this absolutely sealed it when we talked to him on Monday, when I asked him about the offensive line, and he mentioned the sack that they took early on where the slide was called to the right. And he said that he was responsible for the slide. Now, I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers is responsible for the slide and for the free rusher who ended up sacking him. You know, there's no way to really confirm that. But, and there was a call at the line. Like, the defense does something to make Aaron adjust things. So it's like, I love that LaFleur is always, always going to take the blame the same way McCarthy did. You know, he's never going to call out his quarterback. or his offensive line, or anybody really. But yeah, that's a credit to them. And when there's something wrong, it's always about, you know, it starts with us as coaches. That's my other favorite one, definitely. Trap game, I'm sort of kidding, but Julio Jones has had our number in the past. Well, who knows if Julio's even going to play. We won't get an injury report until tomorrow. Everything's pushed back by a day because of the Monday night game. But yeah, it's not a trap game. No such thing. Got to go 1-0 every week. Even if Julio doesn't play, Ridley's still insanely talented. So we'll see. And stuff, Sean Menenga. Oh, Evan, you have no idea, buddy. Oh, my God. The first, like, week or so of his availability, I was dying. Who scares you on Atlanta's team? I fear no one. I respect my opponents, but I fear none of them. I don't know. The only thing that scares me is, like, something happening to my kids. I don't get scared by football teams or players. Brandon, third stock report, 1 p.m. Cheesehead TV. Great job, Nags. Thanks, Brandon. That's mighty kind of you. Face it, we don't have a Super Bowl defense. Ah, but face it, it is way early. Man, Super Bowls have been won by teams with opportunistic defenses through time immemorial. Look at the Saints, who we just played. When they won in 2009, they had a defense just like ours. Just like ours. Gave up tons of points, tons of yards, but was also incredibly opportunistic. Just give Aaron Rodgers the ball a couple times. Now, I'm not completely dismissing the issues on defense because they certainly are there. There is no doubt that this team needs to improve and develop, and it can. But to sit here in week three and say, oh, they're not going to win the Super Bowl because of their defense, is very short-sighted. Now, do they have to get better? Absolutely. Can they? Absolutely. I, for one, can't wait to find out and see how it happens, rather than dismissing it and saying, oh, well, season's over. They don't have a Super Bowl defense. Come on, man. Gotta flip that stuff. A lot of ball game left. That's right. Yes, thank you, Lizalicious9. I love your names. Indy has had the 32nd ranked run defense when they beat Chicago. A lot of season left. I always use that year because it is a bit of a kind of an outlier, so you can't really say, okay, yes, this is the blueprint, right? But it is a good point as far as they were god-awful against the run all year long. And then they got to the playoffs and they had some of the greatest performances against the run in the history of the playoffs. So, you know, can you flip a switch? Obviously not. That's not a game plan. But you can improve. Things can happen. Things can develop. Don't be so dismissive. That's all I'm saying. Patrick, did you receive the package? It is on the way, according to the last tracking I looked at. I'm going into the studio today for Packer transplants, and if it's arrived, it'll be at my desk. Thank you very much. Or probably in the refrigerator, since it's an alcoholic beverage. Thank you. I'm getting my touchdown squares today. That's what I'm talking about. After the two 49er games last year, why didn't we address the defense more in the offseason, Nags? Mike, because you don't overreact to one opponent. That's the way to make yourself worse other places while trying to bolster what got you killed by that one team. Look no further than Ron Wolf drafting three in a row defensive backs in response to Randy Moss going ham his rookie year. Only one of them panned out, and they never really stopped Moss anyway. Now, why do they do more? They have a lot of guys they want to pay. And considering they got Kenny Clark done already, you got to think David Bakhtiari is next in line, and then maybe Aaron Jones and Kevin King. Those are the guys they want to concentrate on rather than going hog wild and spending a ton of money fixing holes rather than creating other holes by letting guys walk. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm in full agreement with the way they went about it, the way the choices Brian made, but it's clear that's the plan. He wanted to kind of keep the development going as far as the group that he's put together. He really believes in his group. All we can do is sit back and watch, see how it turns out. But you don't overreact to one opponent. That's fool's gold. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. ATL is going to be hungry. Not only did we want them to beat Chicago, but now they are facing 0-4 under the lights. We have to be ready. Couldn't agree more. That's why it's not a trap game. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. Call the floor. Tell them to pack it in. BD has declared we don't have a Super Bowl defense. Season is over. See you in training camp 2021. Oh, Dustin. Yeah, you jokester, you. What's the game plan going to be against Julio, Ridley, and Gurley? Hold on. Hi, Mike. Yeah, hi, it's Aaron. Yeah, I'm on Packers Daily, and Cringe Creator is asking what the game plan is going to be against Julio, Ridley, and Gurley. Yeah? Okay. Thanks. Mike Pettin says you're just going to have to wait and see. What beer should I send? Where should I send it? I've been watching you, all your content. I owe you a keg. Oh, David, that's incredibly kind of you. I really should just have it listed here, shouldn't I? The office address, the studio address is online at livex.tv. Look for the About Us page, I think it is, and the address is there. Do you know the answer before you ask your questions, the tackling one, for example? More often than not, yeah, you know which way coach is going to go or a player is going to go when you ask something. It is fun to try to cut them off at the pass, so to speak. You know, a lot of times you'll notice when I ask Brian Gutekunst questions, you know, I try to lead with, I know you won't talk about X, but let me ask you about Y. Because you're trying to get information, trying to get something out of them that's usable. But at the same time, I recognize that, you know, there's only so much they can say. There's tons of shit they won't say. But the tackling thing, I was trying to get coach, I don't know, not in a quote unquote good mood, but in a joking way, address the fact that they missed a lot of fuck ton of tackles on Sunday night. You know, but he took it literal and had the response that he had. I will say, shout out, you're welcome, Rob Domofsky, because that quote was included in your piece today, and that quote wouldn't have happened without me. Most of the time, you're just trying to, like I said, head them off the pass. The problem becomes so many guys try to like show you how much they know in their question. I understand that it can get rambling sometimes, but what you're doing when you're questioning these guys is trying to eliminate and take away the obvious answers. Like you're talking about, I know what they're going to respond with. Well, I want to get that out of the way in the question so that they have to go somewhere else. They can't lean on a cliche. They can't lean on something we've heard 100 times before. And this still does, it usually doesn't matter. Sometimes most of the times they'll just plow through with the cliched response anyway. But every once in a while you get something fun. You get a different angle. You get a different nugget. You get a little picture of their personality. And that's what makes it fun to me. You know, that's, we get a little peek behind the facade, behind the PR bullet points, etc. That's what I want. As a fan, that's what I want. So do I know the answer? Most of the time, yeah, you know where they're going to go. But that's why you try to phrase it in a way that makes them have to go a different direction. Jason, thanks for the super chat. Get up, get up, get out of here. Gone. Go Brew Crew tonight. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. 3-game season. Let's do it. They're going to get killed, but I don't care. I don't care. Go Pack Go from Alaska. Andrew, Go Pack Go from New York. 12 is so much more accurate this year. Bubble screen to Lazard in the first quarter that went for 12 or 13. If that throw is off target, the play is dead. Rodgers missed those last few years. We just talked about that. Absolutely. Totally agree. Nags, love how the Packers are getting the tight ends more involved. Absolutely. I mean, I think most people suspected that would be the case when Adams was out, because that's how they went about it last year, right? When they went down, was the first game without Adams last year, I think was the Dallas game, if I remember right. I might be wrong. But, you know, that was the game where they got the running backs and tight ends a lot more involved, because you need to, because you're down your best offensive receiving threat. I love that the tight ends got some action, and I hope that continues even after Adams gets back, but we'll see. Do I like watching Rodgers on Tuesdays with Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk? I wouldn't miss it. I absolutely love it. It's a great setting. It's a great vibe. I love that Aaron's back doing that every week. Some of you may not remember, back when he was first made the starter, he had a Tuesday radio show with Jason Wilde called Tuesdays with Aaron, which was phenomenal. It's just great to hear him talk about the game, stuff going around the game, the locker room, his life, whatever. You know, he's a megastar. He's a superstar. You hang on every word. So, yeah, I love watching it. I literally watched it on my phone walking back from the laundromat yesterday. That's how much I don't miss it. Like, I am. It's appointment viewing. You got to see it. It's phenomenal. Can you now say if you saw 42 working at outside linebacker in August? Probably not, but no, I didn't. Nags, have you had Heady Topper? The Alchemist Brewery in Vermont. I have seen Heady Topper, but I've never had one. Blake Martinez is leading the league in tackles. Never change, Blake. Incredibly productive player. Do GMs pay attention to trends in the hits and misses they have in their draft classes, i.e. Ted Thompson was amazing with wide receivers and offensive line, but appeared to struggle with DBs and outside linebackers slash DNs in the 2010s. Do they pay attention to it? I think so, but the thing is with Green Bay, they have a way of working, right? They have a system in the personnel department that has been going, has been in place basically since Ron Wolf came on board in the early 90s. So there are certainly misses in certain position groups. There's no question that Ted Thompson knew how to fucking scout wide receivers. My God. The offensive line thing, I would suspect, I mean, it was still early in Brian's tenure, but so far, his selections look like players. It's still very early, like I said. So that might be a product of the personnel group, the system, what have you. But some of it is also the eyes of the guys doing the work, right? I mean, the Packers had a scout named Charles Walls, who's now in Cleveland. But he has an excellent eye for talent. He's a guy who did the initial work on Elgton Jenkins, on Kingsley Keke, and on Aaron Jones. And that's a guy who knows what the hell he's looking at and knows when to put forth and really kind of push for a guy, et cetera. That's not to say that, you know, obviously the Packers have a ton of people under Brian's purview who do that kind of work. The trends that they look at are much more so about, okay, what are we looking at athletically versus production, and what do we have as far as where we think this guy is going to project in the NFL? And I think for the most part, they've done a good job. Maybe their projections have fallen a little short at certain positions, i.e. With Ted Thompson and the defensive line. But more often than not, I think, you know, they do a pretty damn good job. That's just my humble opinion. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Can you start a question to LaFleur with Coach? There's no doubt about it. And end a question to Menengo with and stuff, please. I mean, I don't take requests. I'm not a dancing monkey, but maybe. We'll see. There needs to be beer sponsors for all Cheesehead TV shows. I'd recommend Tennant's Lager from Scotland. Robin, I'm all in on that. Have them give us a call. Has the running back rotation been addressed in regards to Dylan? I asked Coach about it after the game, and he said, you know, it's just the way it worked out. But he did say he would have he's going to be having a look at it, quote unquote. I don't know what that means, but you know, Aaron and Jamal are incredibly productive. So it's not like you want to force Dylan in there to upset the apple cart, so to speak. I would prefer Dylan to get some of those short yardage carries, but or Jamal Williams for that matter. But, you know, Aaron Jones is an explosive guy and really good runner. It's not like he hasn't been productive in those situations before. I mean, do you want to take him off the field for a rookie? Probably not in most cases, but we'll see how it shakes out for the remainder of the season. I said, you know, pretty much all summer, I thought he'd get more work than this. I did think he'd be part of the rotation early on, but for whatever reason, they certainly have kept him on the bench. And we'll see how it goes. Jenkins is Goody's best pick so far. He is amazing. Yeah, he's the real fucking deal, right? I mean, that guy could be a Pro Bowler, if not an All-Pro, at pretty much any position on the line, which is pretty scary. He is really fucking good. Preston, thanks for the super chat. Who are the three most talented Packers careers cut short due to injury that you've seen? Wow, what a specific question. I don't know. Nick Collins, Terrence Murphy, and Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp's probably the biggest one because he was absolutely a god among men when he played football. Did it seem like Summers did okay in coverage knowing he needs to clean up tackling? Yeah, he surprised me there. Seemed pretty fluid. He looked great sideline to sideline. Just got to make that tackle when he arrives. But, yeah, for the most part, I thought he played pretty damn well. All right, guys, I got to get going. I'm actually going to appear on a panel this morning talking about streaming and sports, and somebody actually really wants to hear what I have to say, which kind of is shocking. I think they don't know who I am. But anyway, so I got to get going. Can't thank you guys enough for saying hi, talking Packers with me. Please hit like on this video. Hit subscribe on the channel. And if you're so inclined, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. It supports everything we do, including live episodes of Packer Transplants every week. Next one is tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Lambeau time. Be there, be square, right here on the social channels. Also, it supports 5 hours plus of live streaming each and every game day, including Monday night when the Packers take on the Falcons. If you can't support us on Patreon, though, totally understand. Just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.